From NPR and WBUR, I'm Indira Lakshmanan.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. And right now we're watching Brussels, the Belgian capital, which remains under high security after the Paris attacks, although Belgian school children did return to their classrooms today.
And as the manhunt continues for suspects, Europe's elected officials are scrambling to come up with a response. Saïd Kamall is a member of the European Parliament representing his hometown of London. He's chairman of the European Parliament's Conservatives and Reformist Group. He's a Tory and a Muslim. Mr. Kamall, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So as a Muslim and a European politician, how concerned are you about a rise in Islamophobia across Europe following the Paris attacks?
Well, I think we're concerned about both. One is we're concerned about the potential for more terrorist attacks. But the other thing is, you know, what do the terrorists want to achieve? They want to inspire, if inspire is the correct word, copycat attacks. And secondly, they also want to drive a wedge between Muslims and non-Muslims.
So are European governments taking the right response to the attacks? I mean, Belgium looks like a police state this week. France is bombing targets in Syria. Your own country, Britain, has talked about how bombing could begin in Syria within days. So do you agree with the politicians who say that this is a war?
Well, I mean, there clearly is a war against terrorism, but what does that mean? And I think we've got to be quite clear about what that means. How do we make sure that we stop terrorist attacks in our country? And that is a combination of intelligence sharing. And that's why Brussels has been in lockdown, because it was in lockdown really in response to a specific threat that they had, that intelligence had got hold of. Then there is the long-term stuff in terms of how do we stop homegrown terrorism and all the radicalisation, looking at issues like, you know, young people being radicalised in prison, young people who are disaffected and caught between different identities, those who are fooled, vulnerable young people fooled into believing in a world of temptation that there is a shortcut to paradise if they blow themselves up or get involved in a terrorist attack.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper on that question of whom this is a war against. I mean, you know that many angry and disenfranchised young Muslims in Europe feel as if it is they and their religion which is under attack. So what is your message to those disillusioned young people in Europe who may be inspired by the Islamic State?
Well, I think the first thing is we've got to be quite clear, all of us have got to be quite clear, that there is no inherent contradiction between being a Muslim and between living in the West and believing in liberal democracy. You know, let's not forget that one of the terrorists involved in the Paris attacks was drinking alcohol and taking drugs. Another, the sister said he never went to the mosque. Think about the terrorists that were apprehended in the UK not long ago on their way to Syria. And they found that they were carrying a book, or they just bought a book, called Islam for Dummies. Mm-hmm. So these people claim to be carrying out the attacks in the name of Islam, but actually it seems that they are violent young individuals, disturbed, but who are looking to use Islam as a cover for their violence.
All right. Well, let me ask you about the approach that the European Parliament is taking to try to deal with information sharing. The European Parliament is right now debating a measure to share more passenger airline information. That's something that U.S. President Obama has wanted passed, but it's been stuck in Parliament for at least 2 years. Are you in favor of sharing that kind of information? And are you also in favor of stronger border controls within Europe, within the Schengen area?
Yeah, I think on the information sharing, this was something called passenger name records and the sharing of passenger name records. And I understand, you know, I'm probably one of those people who is concerned about government or others getting too much of your data. After Paris, there seems to be an added urgency to make sure we get this through the Parliament. And the big political groups seem to be agreed that we should try and get this through by the end of the year. But at the same time, while addressing concerns over civil liberties and making sure that we get that right balance between security and liberty.
Well, currently in Europe, there are a number of countries who, for the last 20 years, you can drive between them without showing a passport, a visa, or anything, the so-called Schengen area. A colleague of yours in the European Parliament wrote in the New York Times that if stronger border controls and passport checks are not introduced in Europe this year, he thinks that Schengen visa-free access is dead. Do you agree?
Look, it's quite clear. We're in a situation where people are questioning the strength of external borders. Greece, Italy, other external borders. And that's what we will see. And until there's confidence in the external borders of the EU, there will no doubt be calls for strengthening of internal borders. So we could see the undermining or weakening of Schengen as a result.
All right. Well, intelligence sharing is one thing, border control is another, but basic police work and law enforcement is another key element. And one of the key weaknesses we saw after the Paris attack was that French police had apparently stopped suspect Saleh Abdeslam three times in the morning after the attacks as he was being driven back to Belgium. And he was on a terrorist watch list since 2010, but he was never actually picked up. What is going wrong with law enforcement in Europe that this can happen?
Well, what's quite clear is clearly someone had the intelligence, but the intelligence wasn't shared. The other thing we've got to be very careful of is that there are some politicians who are using the attacks in Paris as an excuse for more Europe. You know, we're hearing calls from some in the parliament to say, well, this is the time when we need a European CIA. We need a European intelligence agency. First of all, that would take far too long. Even, I was sitting next to a politician today who is very, very pro-European, very much in favour of a United States of Europe. And he said to me, this would take 10 years to build a such institution. And what we should be doing is focusing on sharing existing information.
Conservative politician Syed Kamal is a member of the European Parliament representing London. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.